proof text, number 12, Proverbs 38 and 9. Now, that proof text is basically dealing with contentment, is where it is doing here, but I want to use it for this point that I just made. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient or that's sufficient for me, lest I be full and deny thee. You know, we talked last week about God's provision, and too much can actually not be good for a lot of us. We can't handle it. Too little, we'll see in just a second as we read the rest of this. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and still and take the name of my God in vain. So I'm tying that part to this hallowed be thy name, because as we've talked about, how we live is one of the ways God manifests himself to a lost and dying world. And so if we in turn are not taken care of, and that's obviously wouldn't happen in reference to God, but the prayer here is, God, give me enough so I'm not tempted of the devil to go and steal. You're a believer. I thought your God took care of you. Why are you resorting to this kind of action? And by that, taking God's name in vain, as the writer of Proverbs so instructs us, knowing the heart of man and what he is inclined to do. So the contentment, but also the hallowed be thy name part of that. Second petition deals with God's kingdom. God's kingdom versus Satan's kingdom, the devil's kingdom. And our duties, our responsibilities as part of God's kingdom. Once we're saved, our responsibilities in that kingdom. And I won't go through those again. We've done those. Third petition, thy will be done. God's decrees carried out, God's providence. Our obligation to know God's will as it has been revealed, to the extent God's revealed it. To the extent God has not revealed aspects of his will to us in his word, we are to accept it and be content. And that's the other part of that, those two verses from Proverbs that we just read, contentment. But to accept, to know, and submit. Fourth petition that we dealt with last week, give us this day our daily bread. And I tied that one to the third petition because God's provision for us would include our daily bread. But we noted that obviously there was something more that Christ wanted his disciples to think about and to consider. And that was that everything that you have in this life, God is the source of everything. We noted last week, there is no power. You have no power to accumulate wealth. If you accumulate wealth, it's because God allowed it. God gave you that. Even the ungodly, it's only because God has allowed it. Our breath, our strength, our health, all those things factor in our daily provision. And acknowledging the source, then, of everything every day as our needs are met. Remembering, it's not of self, ever. It's of God. And being thankful for that. Okay? So that brings us to the fifth petition. Because the only thing we had left on the fourth petition was that aspect of contentment. And we've touched on that. So we go to the fifth petition on page 572. The fifth petition, what do we pray for in the fifth petition? I've got a few comments, but just to put them in context. In the fifth petition, which is, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Right? So forgiveness of our debts as we forgive our debtors. I would point out to you that this petition carries with it or states the duty. It tells us what we're to believe concerning God, but it expressly sets forth the duty that goes with that, right? The duty that goes with it. Forgive us our debts as we forgive. Forgive as we forgive, all right? Now, again, I want to do what I did last week in part. I want to tie this, and I think it ties naturally, to the previous petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Right? Now, you say, well, how does this tie to that petition? Because I would suggest to you that this is in the same vein, forgive us this day our daily sins. Right? Now, why do I say that? Well, this prayer, keep in mind, this prayer is a prayer that Christ was teaching to his disciples. These are believers. This is not a prayer for salvation. Now, not that that's not what you pray. That is what you pray. God, forgive me. My sin, in coming to Christ in salvation, we seek forgiveness. But that's not where we are here. We have people that are already saved. So what is it then, and what is Christ trying to teach his disciples? Right? That's what we want to know. That's what they came and asking. Teach us to pray. What is it we ought to be praying for? And so Christ, in instructing, thy will be done. Well, it's God's will. Right? Again, it's God's will for those of us who are saved to confess our sins and seek forgiveness. So this petition is part of that one. But I would suggest to you that it follows the daily bread, the concept or the idea here being the daily cleansing. All right? Daily bread, meet our needs, and daily cleansing, forgive us our sin. All right, let's take a look at the rest of our question and answer here. The fifth petition, what are we praying for? The fifth petition, which is, forgive us our debts. I'm on page 572, question 194 of the Larger Catechism. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, acknowledging that we and all others are guilty both of original and actual sin, and thereby become debtors to the justice of God. Now, forgiving us our debts, everyone, I think, obviously understands we aren't talking about something in the commercial realm, the monetary realm. That Luke uses the word sins, all right? Forgive us our sins. Now, we obviously can't forgive others when it says forgive us our sins as we forgive those who would trespass against us, sin against us, offend us. And we talked about that before, technically. All sin is against God, right? But we do wrong by our neighbor often, and we generally talk about that. Well, I have sinned against my neighbor in doing wrong, but we've gone through that, and I won't get back into that. But here, there's this, forgive us our debts, sin, and the sin before we are saved, that sin amounts to just disobedience to God's law. disobedience to God's law and carries with it God's wrath, God's condemnation as to that sin. After we're saved, it's still disobedience to God's law. Right? The resulting justice is God's displeasure, and both of them, in essence, both before and after, there's a judgment that comes, all right, for the unsaved. That judgment is the display, the wrath and condemnation that rests upon them even in this life, and eternal death once they die. For the believer, you still have God's displeasure. You still have a form of judgment in the withholding, perhaps, of blessings, the forfeiting of blessings, the loss of communion with God, that aspect that brings a division. I mean, if you want to see what that looks like, just read any number of the Psalms. You're full of them. Where David, especially, David felt his sin, and David, you know, felt it. The heavens were closed against him. His health, his physical health, was affected at times. His conscience, guilt. Okay? So you can look at the Psalms and see what happens to the believer. But the believer, even with his sin, which we all are plagued with, even with his sin, still has his eternal life. Does not lose his salvation. Okay? But he does lose blessings. The loss of knowing God's blessing and care and that closeness, that God drawing near, God's help, the peace and joy are some of the first things that go. Heart gets trouble. You get grumpy, disgruntled, snap at people. Okay? It's all part of sin. So there is that aspect of judgment even to the believer. So we want to be careful. Sin always has consequences. For the saved, obviously for the unsaved, for the saved as well. We become debtors. Even as believers, we become debtors to the justice of God. It's a different, we're his children now. If your children disobey you, you still love them. They don't cease being your children. But when they disobey, they're subject to your justice. You know, whatever form that takes. Right? Same thing in God's family. We're still part of his family. Sin doesn't take us out of the family, but it doesn't make our Father happy. And there are consequences, just like there are in the human family, at least should be. What those consequences are, like I say, depends upon the parents. And the portion, all others are guilty both of original and actual sin. Again, I think that's in our answer here to remind us, obviously, where we came from. All right? Original sin, and actual sin, that's where this sinful nature comes from. Forgive us our sins. Well, they're just reminding us kind of where that starts. And it starts at birth. All right? We're born in sin, and we commit sin. Original sin goes back to Adam's sin and that imputation, therefore, that passed upon all mankind, descending from him by ordinary generation, exception Christ, because Christ did not sin, descend from Adam by ordinary generation. All the rest of us did. So original sin, actual sin. The actual sin is what we deal with day by day. That's what we're seeking forgiveness for. The original sin is taken care of in our justification, I would suggest. It has its impact, but it's done. Now the actual sin is where I'm suggesting this petition, what it's dealing with, that daily bread, daily cleansing, right? Thereby become debtors to the justice of God, I'm picking up with the answer, end of the third line, and that neither we nor any other creature can make the least satisfaction for that debt. And we need to keep that in mind when we get to the last part of when we deal with as we forgive others. That has nothing to do with in any way satisfying God as to that debt. We pray for ourselves and others that God of his free grace would, through the obedience and satisfaction of Christ, right, big key, obviously, to this whole thing. Forgiveness of our sin and justification is through the work of Christ. It's the only place. Christ's atoning life and death. His life and his death. The only way we get forgiveness in connection with our salvation. Connection with our sanctification is also the only way we get forgiveness. Because Christ's death, life and death, and atoning for our sin includes those actual sins that we are still, as we live, all who have preceded us and all who will follow us as they live, the ones we commit every day, right? Christ's blood has to atone for those sins just as much as the ones in the past. Because if he doesn't, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because there's nothing you can do then to take care of those. I don't care how good and perfect a life you live. Even if you forgive everyone of every transgression, every offense they commit against you, which if you could, you still have the guilt. So you can't undo any of the stuff that's past from the time that may have happened in between. It all comes back to Christ. And again, it's part of the prayer. You look at this prayer in its totality and you kind of back away from it. What you see is the prayer is about the kingdom and Christ. It's about God's work for his people, our life here on earth, and how it relates to Christ. Starting with the preface and working right on through. It's all about what our Father in heaven and his dear Son have done for us and do for us. That God of his free grace would, through the obedience and satisfaction of Christ, and God's free grace apart from that phrase, would never forgive the first sin. Because God's justice would not allow it. And we, again, have to keep that in mind. This day and age, a lot of people think God's love and his free grace, well, because he loves, he'll forgive. Because that's his nature. So it doesn't really matter. I can sin, but God's a loving God. He'll forgive me. And when problems come, you know, into their life, oh, and they'll pray. And they'll even ask for prayer. And you're sitting there, on what basis? On what basis? You want me to pray that God will overlook your sin? Is that what you're asking me to do? You want me to pray that God would remove his judgment from you because of your sin, but just to remove it because that's who God, you think, that's who God is? We can't pray. We can pray. I was thinking about this. You know, we pray sometimes that God will forgive sin of those that are lost. And indeed, that's part of what we will pray for, but we're going to get to part of this dealing with the guilt aspect. And perhaps our prayer more appropriately would be, God, help them feel their guilt. Help them understand where they are. Because if they don't know and understand their guilt, what does forgiveness mean? What are you getting forgiveness from? The circumstances? The way you feel at the moment? If we don't understand and appreciate the guilt that goes with sin, forgiveness means nothing. It's shallow. Okay? All right, let me pick back up. We pray for ourselves and others that God of his free grace would, through the obedience and satisfaction of Christ, apprehended and applied by faith, new birth, the faith being given to us to embrace Christ, acquit us both from the guilt and punishment of sin. Accept us in his beloved, continue his favor and grace to us, pardon our daily failings. Now, there's where I kind of picked up, too, with this is the daily forgiveness, the daily cleansing. Pardon our daily failings and fill us with peace and joy in giving us daily more and more assurance of forgiveness. All right? Let me just back up and deal with a couple of things. The guilt. And I've mentioned that already. Acquit us both from the guilt and punishment of sin. Plenty of people want forgiveness from the punishment. Right? Nobody likes the punishment. Nobody, if you ask them, if they're honest, if you say, do you want to go to hell? What do you think their response will be? Oh, no. Do you want to accept Christ? No. Well then, how do you expect not to go to hell? Well, and then they'll give you whatever it is they're depending on. Okay? Everybody wants your children. Again, we see a lot of this played out before us. Children don't want punishment. Well, then, are you going to obey mommy and daddy? No. Well, then, why don't you expect to be punished? You disobey. You know that's where the punishment's coming from, why you're getting it. Why are you disobeying? Because it's what I wanted to do. Notwithstanding what you told me I should or shouldn't do. And not to be too hard on the children. Isn't that applicable to us as God's children? God comes and says, why do you want to suffer? Why is it that you don't want my presence with you? Oh, I do. Well, then why did you disobey my law? Because I wanted to. I mean, isn't that the way it started? Adam and Eve. They saw the fruit. They wanted it. Looked good. Tasted good, I'm sure. They bought into Satan's lie. It was going to give them not only food, it was going to give them more knowledge. They were going to be like God. In one sense, it did. They did find out about evil. Unfortunately, they found out that it carries very serious consequences that they had no ability to do anything about. The guilt and punishment. We must acknowledge our guilt. And that's what will bring you to pray this prayer. You get to the end of the day and you say, you think about it and you can see places, things that you know. Maybe things that you just don't even think about or realize. But there are those things, and you don't, you may even acknowledge, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done that. But unless we understand that we sinned against God, and there's a guilt that goes with that sin, coming and asking God for forgiveness, again, I'm not sure it's going to mean anything. It's the guilt aspect, too, that helps us despise that sin. We don't like to feel bad. We don't like, as a believer, hopefully in our heart, we don't like to be separated from God. We don't want God's displeasure. And thus, we ask for forgiveness, and we ask for help to overcome that sin through the victory, through what Christ has done. And it brings us then again to consider that work of Christ, that we're no longer slaves to sin. Sin no longer has what? Dominion over us. So we don't have to have that guilt and punishment as we apply, as we seek the help of the Spirit, and we live more and more to righteousness and die more and more to sin. Sanctification. Right? And that's despising, dying to it daily. Part of the life that we live. Guilt and punishment. And there's the guilt. The guilt of the transgression. There's two guilts I would suggest to you here. There's the guilt of transgression. That is, if you don't do what God has told you to do, or you do what he's told you not to do, you've sinned. You've transgressed the law of God, knowingly or unknowingly. So there's that guilt. You're guilty by virtue. You go before a judge. Judge says, were you doing 55 in that 40-mile-an-hour zone? Yes, sir. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. It was an emergency, whatever. I'm sorry, sir. But you just admitted that you're guilty, regardless of the circumstances. Right? You're guilty. When you don't obey what God has told you, you're guilty. But there's also the guilt of conscience. So there's guilt in that aspect of Godward, but then it's that guilt, that conscience, the Holy Spirit working, that troubling of soul also. That troubling of soul, I would suggest to you, is what will lead you to seek forgiveness. All right. And then the last part of this, pardon our daily failings, fill us with peace and joy in giving us daily more and more assurance of forgiveness, which we are rather emboldened to ask and encouraged to expect when we have this testimony in ourselves that we, from the heart, forgive others their offenses. Right? And that from the heart, if you look at your proof text number 8, the very last one on page 573, you see that very word, those words. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So the punishment aspect. Now, we're not talking about a work salvation for sure, all right? Just make that clear. Not talking about God will forgive you if you're being nice and you're forgiving other people. God never forgives apart from the work of Christ. No matter what you do. Good, bad, good in the eyes of man, good even as believers in the eyes of God. But you never merit forgiveness with God based on what you do. You only merit, and we know that, you know that, we only merit forgiveness because of the work of Christ. It's not work salvation. It's not legalism. I was reading something that was talking about some of the notes in the Scofield Bible that dismiss certainly this part of the Lord's Prayer, even the Lord's Prayer, as being legalistic. Okay? So it's not that. It's not that. But certainly it goes back. Our preface, okay? Our preface, God's love, and in turn, we love. Well, this flows from that. Right? If you don't appreciate and know something of God's love towards you, you'll have a hard time loving anybody else and understanding what it is to love. But the more you understand the love of God in Christ, the more you in turn can have a heart, because you understand a little bit of what's involved. And I would suggest to you that this is the big, big key to it. Forgiveness. Because that's what we see most of all, the expression of, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to come and live and to die for the forgiveness of sin for his people. So you'll never forgive if you don't understand and appreciate the love of God and what forgiveness is. You stop and think about it. You come daily and you ask God to forgive you for being a disobedient child every day. You would think, humanly, we would think, it'd come a time where God would say, look, enough's enough. If you're going to be my child, you're going to obey. And if you're not going to obey, there's going to be very, very serious consequences. And Scripture tells us, he says, if you'll come and confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness every day. Is that what we do with one another? What we're talking about here. That's what you're praying. Lord, help me to forgive others the way you forgive me. Long suffering, forbearing. Even if I can put it this way, remember Christ on the cross, Father, forgive them. for they don't know what they do. When somebody's assassinating your character, somebody's lying about you, can you pray that? You have in your heart to pray that? When somebody is just being mean, can you pray that? That's what we're talking about here. And to the extent you can, what the last part of this answer is saying, to the extent you can do that, it will help you be more ready and willing to come to your Heavenly Father and ask forgiveness, because you get a little taste of it in your own heart. If you can forgive others, how much more will your Heavenly Father? So, but we don't forgive. We let bitterness, anger, wrong thoughts churn in our hearts, our minds. Why would we think that God would deal any differently with us? Now we know, and we would, if we presume upon him and say, well, but God is God, and God through Christ has paid the price for all that, so that's not the same standard. Yeah, it is. If we believe it's something other than that, we're presuming upon God's goodness, which in and of itself is a sin. So we need to be careful. Need to be careful. And we'll look at some of the proof text next week as we just to finish up with this. In this forgiveness, praying to be Christ-like as we forgive, as we are Christ-like. All right? Forgive us by what we say, what we do. May we be Christ-like in that. God is a forgiving God. Our duty, to be a forgiving people. And in this prayer that Christ taught his disciples, he puts the two right up next to each other and says, all right, is this really how you want God to deal with you? Well, if it is, then you better be careful in how you deal with one another. And again, God's going to deal with you in Christ. But God's displeasure, fatherly displeasure, as we've seen in the past, the term, there are consequences. Can't lose your salvation, but you can sure lose a lot of blessing, a lot of peace, a lot of joy. It can impact your hope. It can impact your assurance. It can impact a lot of things. All right, we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll pick up, and like I say, finish that up with our proof text, looking at a few of them. Most of them, and again, it's a part of it that goes, that we know well, because it's where we start with salvation, forgiveness. So it's the cornerstone of your relationship with God. So we're very acquainted with it, but sometimes we leave it there. And it applies every day, not only in our relationship to God, but as believers now, in our relationship with one another. Only believers. While unbelievers might forgive, only believers can forgive for the right reason. You forgive because you're forgiven. The unbeliever forgives for whatever it means to him. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, again, we're grateful to you for your word. We're thankful that Christ responded to his disciples and taught them how to pray. And we just ask, Father, that you help us to realize all that's embodied in that prayer, all that it says to us, should say to us. Lord, help us. Help us to respond. Help us to be willing and ready and able to pray it, and then to fulfill the duties that you require of us that we see flowing from it. So help us, we pray. Bless us in the time to follow, our fellowship, most of all in our worship. Help us to worship thee aright this day. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.